Aloha.
Welcome
to the call. Welcome to the call. Brother Nick, how's it going?
Well, good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Feeling pretty humble and naked and renewed, brother. Yeah.
Good. Fantastic. Feeling the same way. Yeah, I'm feeling the same way, actually. Humbled, blessed, purified, and newness, freshness.
Yeah.
So the superhero journey is a journey of humbling, of death and rebirth, where we face our private victories first and foremost, facing our demons, facing our addictions, facing our inner challenges, self-confidence, or whatever else is going on, whatever our personal challenges are, and then we can win our outer challenges as well. So it's always an inner game first, isn't that right, brother?
Absolutely, yeah. And the inner game is the real game, and it's a spiritual path. We're spiritual beings, and the fascinating thing is this requires the absolute, pretty much the absolute obliteration of the mortal self. And the ego is clinging to that. That's its little island, the I land. In the great ocean of eternity, the ego is clinging to the I land in fear. It doesn't want to let go of its little thing. And, of course, that's the absolutely what we as spiritual beings need to release is the identification with the ego as who we are. It's a massively humbling spiritual journey. And as you get further and further along, so to speak, not that you're really going anywhere, you know, it becomes more and more humbling because the hero's journey, you know, as challenging as it is, has these, you know, kind of final stages, which are, you know, beautifully termed as the supreme ordeal. The supreme ordeal. So as if you haven't had enough, you've got to have the supreme ordeal. That's what's waiting for you at the final thing. So, yeah, it's been a little in the old, like the supreme ordeal has begun. And, I'm sure, you know, if everyone's not feeling that, they soon will be. Things are really starting to heat up. And I was remembered, just one last thing, brother. I was, when you were talking there, I was reminded of that extraordinary mathematical visual equation that Nassim Harriman did when I interviewed him in the very early days when we first began superhero training. And he represented the great Mayan cycle, 260,000 years, as a spiral. And he divided the spiral by the, you know, that perfect number, the phi ratio, and came up with all these points on this spiral where the division, you know, we could track back to points in time over the last 260,000 years where significant historical events had occurred on every one of these points. It was an event that, you know, changed the destiny of humanity. And at the beginning of the spiral, these events are thousands and thousands of years apart. But right at the end of the cycle, these things are extremely close together, coming in waves of energy that can completely redefine the landscape of the human race and civilization as we know it, not just our own little world. And so here we are, you know, wherever we are, it's definitely the end of something, and good riddance to it. But these waves are coming through, you know, not just every year or, you know, decades. They're coming through every hour, minute, and second now as we get closer and closer and closer as this time-space continuum, which is just like a little whirling vortex in eternity, goes down the plug hole and everything starts again from wherever it does. And so the intensity and the core, what's required for the supreme ordeal is quite the superhero adventure. You'll be glad you've been on superhero training. Let's put it that way.
You will be glad. This is probably the best decision of your life. Because otherwise, you know, how are you going to handle it all? Most people are drugging themselves to the nines to try and avoid it. Drugging and distracting. This is a world of drugs and distraction. So the whole of the Western world is basically designed around distracting you from yourself and drugging you up so you don't notice what you're feeling. So, you know, what we recommend you do is you try and ease yourself off drugs and distraction of any type, because when they get pulled from under you, if you haven't done it yourself, when the rug gets pulled and you haven't got all those support systems remaining, then you'll really have no idea how to deal with it all, because it'll be too much too fast. So we are recommending gently but swiftly to remove yourself from as many drugs and distractions as you can, so you can feel your feelings and you can feel what's going on and you can actually face your challenges, you know, deeply. And it's not easy. It's very disturbing a lot of the time. But once you face it, then you don't have to keep facing it. So the good news is once you break through something, you don't have to keep having this, like, ongoing, prolonged cycle of avoiding, and then it pops up again, and then you get attacked, and then avoid it, and then it comes back in different people, different forms. So you can save yourself a lot of hassle just by facing it. Face it. So that's really the main difference between superheroes and people who are not choosing to be superheroes, is just facing the ordeal, the supreme ordeal. So well done for being on the call.
We're going to have to do it.
Just showing up is a miracle, yeah? Anyone who's on this call, it just goes to show that you're willing to face, otherwise you wouldn't be here.
That's right. And we're going to have to do it sometime. You know, it's unavoidable. It's not a choice. There's no choice in this. It's just when you do it. And you're better off doing it in the body, you know, while you've got, rather than, you know, and this is the difference between being a master of your destiny and being a victim of your fate. It's very important to clarify this. Fate is something that happens to you whether you like it or not. Destiny is something that you choose. But you can't choose it unless you've mastered yourself to a degree. And when Mike, just for clarification purposes, when Mike's saying get off the drugs, you know, you might be like, well, I don't take any drugs. I have a very clean life. Well, what is the food you're eating? What is the entertainment that you're watching? How are you, what chemicals are you creating in your brain and neurotransmitters in your gut and in your head that you're addicted to, that all the cells in your body are addicted to? You know, these are questions we need to ask ourselves. And basically we have to be, we have to develop the ability, pure and simple, to be extremely comfortable in silence, absolute silence and stillness. And can you just sit or stand or be with yourself, with nothing, just absolutely there? And how long can you do that for comfortably, in a just, you know, quite peacefully? And then not just to endure it, but can you find the way within yourself, just through a state of being, generate a chemistry within yourself that makes you feel better than anything in the world, anything or anyone? Can you do that? That's really what it boils down to, don't you reckon, Mike?
Yeah, that is what it comes down to, because what we can do is we can try and medicate ourselves through entertainment and various forms of substances, try and change our chemistry and feel better, which is, of course, highly limited and dangerous, because if you haven't got it, you're kind of, you know, in trouble. But when you go into the silence and you kind of go beyond the body and the awareness of just this limited sense of self, the I land, like Nick was talking about, me, and the body and the person, and you experience that expanded consciousness, then you actually tap into states of supreme bliss. And I can assure you, because I've experienced a lot of this, that the supreme bliss that you get beyond all of this is millions of times more powerful and more enjoyable than anything you can possibly get on any drugs or any sex or any other stuff. Because we can try our best to get all these things, but there's nothing like the real deal, the real thing. And so if you can just manage to sort of break through the barrier of being with yourself, being in peace, then you can start reaching those states. And once you've had a taste of it, you'll never want to go back, you know.
That's right. And it's a constant. It's a constant. It's always there. That's the wonderful thing about it. And there's no, is I love that phrase, non-causal joy. You know, there's just... Yeah. There's no reason to be feeling and just feeling amazing, other than just, you know, being. And the ego is completely disconnected in this thing. It's discombobulated because it needs a logical reason. The ego does it, so it's and it's got to have a logical reason outside of itself. just pure beingness. There's such a joy in surrender. I mean, the load, the weight, the pressure, the you know, when you surrender, and it's fascinating. I love this subject. We could literally talk all day and all night. We could do a whole week nonstop on this subject of the ego, what it is, and it's just utterly fascinating.
Yeah,
we're in it. And one of the secrets, you know, I've been teaching Angel Qigong an awful lot in Bali over the last few months, and also Australia. I'm in Sydney, Australia right now. And they're just gobbling it up. I mean, they are just lapping it up. People just love it because it puts them into a high state of consciousness so very, very quickly. So what is a higher state of consciousness? Let's just talk about that for a moment and just let you know how easy it is to get out of the ego perspective. The ego perspective looks at everything kind of under a microscope and picks everything to bits. It's completely linear in its way of looking at things. It looks at what's in front of it, or what's behind it, or what's you know, in its perceived future, and it looks at it from a very judgmental perspective. It's either good or it's bad. If Manchester United win the FA Cup, I'm having the best day ever. If Manchester United get knocked out in the first round, it's a catastrophe, and it's going to take me several months to get over this trauma. That's the ego, okay? Craving and aversion, one extreme or the other, positive or negative. When one of the simplest things, and what we do in Angel Qigong, is you shift your perspective from just a worldly, terrestrial perspective. So there you are. In Angel Qigong, we use it that we imagine ourselves standing on top of a mountain. Imagination is the vehicle. It's like getting on the train to immediately get out of ego town. Instantly, just get out of there, get on that train when it's your imagination. So all you have to do in Angel Qigong, what you're doing is you're standing on top of the mountain and you imagine you're looking out over the whole world. Let's just do this as a little exercise right now, everyone that's listening, just how easy this is. Just imagine you're sitting, if you want, on top of a mountain. It's a beautiful mountain, magnificent mountain, huge mountain. There isn't a breath of wind. It's nice and warm. And you're on top of the mountain. You're looking out over the whole world. And have a sense of that you are the master of your world. That you are the king or the queen of everything you survey. That you are in charge. That you have mastered your world. And you command from that high, high place with confidence, with peace, in perfect balance and equanimity. Now imagine you're looking out over the whole world, and beyond the world, you can see the solar system and the stars. And you can see that the solar system is spiraling and spinning and zooming around a central sun in the galaxy, along with billions and billions and billions of other solar systems, just like this one. With bigger suns, smaller suns, more planets, less planets, other possibilities, other dimensions, other worlds, Just breathe that energy. Just breathe the presence of that. And then as you expand your awareness a little more, you're going through the galaxy and you realize that billions and billions of galaxies are in this universe. Billions and billions and billions of galaxies are in this universe, containing countless billions of solar systems. Just like ours, with bigger suns, smaller suns, more worlds, less worlds, more possibilities, endless. And then you expand your awareness a little more and you realize that there's billions and billions and billions of universes in this cosmos. And just expand your awareness to embrace eternity. So there it is. Eternal sense of self, cosmic consciousness. Now just put your hands together in front of your heart. Just bring your hands together in front of your heart and feel what that does to you. And just start radiating peace and love and blessings to all beings in eternity. As if you're containing the whole of eternity, the whole cosmos within yourself, and you're radiating blessings of peace and love. And if you want to sweeten up the feelings, just practice Ho'oponopono so you can get into compassion, onto the real frequencies of compassion, and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and use the beauty of your tenderness. Use the beauty of your tenderness to connect with all those little particles of creation, all those beings everywhere. And with your hands in front of your heart, you can imagine the Earth, the planet Earth, as a tiny, 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 tiny microscopic little point in there, somewhere in the center of your heart, and you're holding it in your heart. And you can practice being like a bodhisattva, and you can breathe all the suffering of all the beings in that world and radiate out compassion on your exhalation. That's what bodhisattvas do. That's all they do. And what you're appreciating, I'm sure now, you can feel, is just how much more peace there is in your world. I'm feeling it here in Sydney, Australia. It's suddenly I can feel a palpable peace. So easy. Shifting out of the ego's perspective, which is complete insanity. The free spirit, like a beautiful, an indescribable, exquisite, wild, there's nothing wild about it, creature locked up in an asylum. As soon as we move out of it, as soon as we expand our awareness, just that one simple thing, expanding our awareness into, through cosmic consciousness into an eternal, infinite sense of self, just relieves so much pressure. And then moving on to the frequencies of unconditional love allows us to actually express ourselves in the way that we, in the vibratory way that we're designed to. And if we're not in this infinite sense of self, an eternal sense of self, cosmic consciousness at the very least, then we're trapped and we're stressing. We're in a cage that's limited and we can feel it and it's horrible. And if we're not on these vibratory frequencies of compassion, then we are out of sync. We're out of vibratory attunement, you know, the vibrational law of attraction. And we feel the friction of that, the static. And it's absolutely excruciating. And it's as simple as that. one of the things I think it's good to remind ourselves is the amount of love that's required in this equation. You navigate out of your prison using tenderness. We're being tenderized. The warrior's bleeding heart. We use the beauty of our tenderness, gives us that sensitivity to navigate the energetic connection with life. Tenderness and beauty is our navigation system. Faith is our center. When people talk about being centered, it's not about whether your center's in your forehead or your heart or your lower abdomen. It's faith. It's called nizche. Burning certainty. That's the anchor point. So while we're getting squashed in this little game, running around, freaking out, survival fears being triggered left, right, and center, which is, you know, what the controllers and architects of control are. That's their game plan, is to generate as much fear, and especially fear, as possible. While we're getting squashed in this little game, we need to be playing this bigger game as well. And like I've been saying for a long time, we have so much light, we need an equivalent amount of darkness in which to shine, you see. And we are beings of such extraordinary degrees of love. We need these unforgivable wounds to heal and forgive. This is a very, very, very real situation we're in right now. I mean, we've been banging on about it for a long time, but now that the circumstances of life are, you know, have revealed themselves, you know, so, so graphically, left, right, and center. And there's not much time left. But the good news is that as the more it becomes excruciating and unbearable in the ego's world, the more available, instantly available, this other experience is. I mean, I take people that have no, I have a client in Sydney right now that has no experience whatsoever of anything to do with consciousness. He's family, business, mega, mega million bucks. Cocaine, alcohol, salami for breakfast. But my goodness me, what an angel this guy is. And he found me, and his wife's leaving him. So he was in desperation. And he had a massive business meeting in Sydney, and I met him in Sydney, and he fell into my arms. This guy's 6'11". I opened my hotel room door, and he fell into my arms, crying and snivelling and blubbering, a wreck. And I immediately sat him down, and he wanted his whole drama and story with me. And I said, shut up, take a breath, be quiet, put your hands together in front of your heart. And I took him out like I just did you then. And I coached him through this thing. And within 10 minutes, this guy was holding the most extraordinary. Within 5 minutes, he was holding an extraordinary space. And he held it for a good hour and a half. And he totally stabilized. He went to this meeting this next day, and he just absolutely rocked it. He's back at home now with the family, and things are shifting wonderfully. And I'm going over there today to spend a week with him and his company doing all his management team. So monsters are becoming angels. The world creates a monster. Ego is a monster. It's absolutely monstrous. And a monstrous world is being generated through this matrix and this system, this political evil. And we are challenged with the responsibility of transforming it from the inside. And if we don't have these practices, we haven't got a chance.
That's right. We have to start where we are and then build it up from there. So you start with 1 second. You just need 1 second. And once you get that experience, it can last for hours, it can last for days, just with a second. And what Nick was just doing there is basically shrinking down the size of the world for you, so that you don't see these details as huge, big things, because that's the biggest problem we have, is that we think this whole world is the only thing that exists and everything else is some theoretical idea beyond that. It doesn't really matter. You know, spirituality is seen as some faraway thing that is for the mystical people somewhere else, not for us here. And what we do is we expand our awareness and we shrink down the size of this. So it gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and you get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you can expand your awareness out and imagine yourself 1,000 years in the future when all this is finished. Your body's dead. It's all done. And who's left? You know, pure consciousness is left. And once you rest in that space beyond all these details completely, then you can breathe in a sense of pure peace and sanity and freedom. And then you can come back full blast into this world, because we have to do something while we're here. And while we are here, we've got to give it our full energy, otherwise it doesn't really work. So the challenge we have, if there is a challenge, is to be able to go completely beyond the whole thing and let it all go completely, totally let everything go and experience that state beyond everything. And then, once we've got that experience, got the power, then come straight back into it and we can do cool things, you know, because we've got hands and legs and bodies and there's all these opportunities. Might as well take advantage of them. But if there's anxiety constantly lingering around, then it spoils the occasion, it spoils the experience, it keeps us inhibited and trapped. So when we go beyond, we're completely free, and then we come back, and then you go beyond again. So if you can start developing that practice, having these two worlds, in the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell talked about this, you become a master of the two worlds, which means that you're a master of this world, being here in a body, in this journey through physical life, and you're also a master of the world beyond, the expanded consciousness, cosmic consciousness. So we begin to have this massive perspective, and then we come here, and then we go beyond. Yeah, it's much more fun that way. Otherwise, life starts getting very disturbing and very terrifying, and that's certainly no way to live. So we either wake up and experience this now through our choice, or we get basically crushed until we got nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, and then we have to experience that in order to deal with the pain. So we might as well just give ourselves a break, do ourselves a favor, and make time for this freedom now. So we got lots of superheroes here today. A lot of people joined recently our program, and we have friends and family, hopefully, today. People have brought their friends and family with them. So we'd love to start just by talking to the new superheroes. Whoever's signed up and joined the program, come into the family recently, press the on your telephone, press star two, and we will unmute you, and we'd love just to hear your intentions, say your name and where you're from and what's up. So just press star 2 on your keypad if you've joined the program recently. Not everyone manages to get on the calls for various reasons, but if you are one of the new Sapiros, go ahead and let us know. I'm not seeing any hands go up. We've had lots of new people come into the program, so either they're not on the call or they're shy. But don't be shy, because we want to hear from you. It's family here. So if no one's going to put their hand up, anyone who would love just to share, who's brought friends and family, or anyone who would just love to share anything, press star 2 and we'll be able to see your hand on our screen here. We know you have a telephone. We know your telephone has a keypad. There we go. Aloha, who's this?
It's Carol. How are you?
Carol. I imagine Carol would be coming here. How are you doing, Carol?
I'm doing great. I'm a little busy right now because I'm down at the pond at swim team practice and watching a friend's four-year-old because they went to Mumford and Sons. So I just want to take a minute because I think I have a friend that is visiting on the call. Her name is Loren Marino, Dr. Wren. She's a naturopathic doctor up in New Jersey, and we were actually at the David Wolf event here in Baltimore this weekend together. So she texted me a little bit ago and said she was on the call, so maybe she'll raise her hand and say hi. And
yeah, awesome. I think she just did. This is her
okay.
Number. Is it 908 number?
Yeah. So I'm going to hop off and keep an eye on the four-year-old.
Okay. Well, thank you, Carol. Aloha. Number, is that you? Hello? Well, I'm not sure quite what happened there, but...
I'm here.
Oh, hello. There we go.
Hello. Yes. An infinite gratitude to Carol for inviting me on today. This is Ren, and I'm here activating the planet in the geographical region known as New Jersey.
Yay. Awesome. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Would you like to share anything, ask us any questions, or just...
I'm here holding space and happy to go on the ride of hypersynchronicity tonight with you guys, so thanks.
You're welcome. Anything we can do to be of service to you on your adventures?
You've already been of service more than you know.
Oh, all right. Wonderful. Well, lovely to hear from you. And, you know, of course, we'd always love to connect more if you'd want to take it deeper. And well done for being here, being blazing the light from wherever you are.
I'd like to ask you a question.
Go right ahead.
As a naturopathic doctor in New Jersey, is that where you're practicing?
Well, yes, primarily. I do say my practice is in health edutainment, but it certainly is a challenge being an awakened being in a Jersey girl's body. I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely, yeah. I visited New Jersey years and years ago, and I was astonished at the just the power of the frequency warfare that's going on there, just like the extra low F dark noise, you know, that vibratory stuff that's going on there. And I just wondered if you, you know, how you, you know, like the, you know, the Western medical model doesn't have an energetic system in it, like, you know, like, for instance, the Chinese does with the acupuncture. In fact, it's the only Western model that doesn't. I just wondered how you approach that kind of, like, energetic factor in people's health. over there in New Jersey?
Well, my personal approach to it is I'm super enthusiastic and radical about it. Make a lot of conscious puns that the average people here can relate to. Like I say, I speak the dialect, I speak New Jersey. So one of the things I say is, you know, out with the schnookie and with the Renzi's paradigm shift and health consciousness at the Jersey Shore. And just play it up as a lot of fun and get to people to catch contagious gratitude. And it seems to be working.
Wonderful.
Conscious media helps a lot. I do host the first holistic lifestyle television show here in New Jersey. So, and right now, just like in Amazing Grace and in Finding Joe, it's kind of like right now is the moment where all the light workers are kind of stepping up to the plate, and, you know, it's really empowering.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So, yeah, thanks
well, you
for your
seem
question.
Being, yeah, you're in good spirits. It's good to hear that, you know. New Jersey, bless your
woo,
heart.
Woo.
All right.
All right, Dr.
Yeah. Well, big shout out from Kauai and from Australia, Sydney. And look forward to connecting with you again and hearing all the latest and greatest.
Thank you, thank you. Big shout out from the Garden State to the Garden Island as well.
Yes. Awesome. Fantastic. Oh, it's always a joy to hear friends and family. Isn't it beautiful to hear all the light workers coming out from the woodwork as the world is falling to pieces? And we have to remember that we're either going up or we are going down. And we live in a world that is full of so many distractions. It's just ridiculous. Like, I've tried to avoid distractions as much as I possibly can to the extreme degree. And all I got to do is turn my phone on or go online, and there's just so much nonsense going on that can be quite distressing and distracting. So being in the middle of it all practically and having the online presence constantly bombarding us from all sides is it's not an easy thing to deal with. So we need everything we can get to make sure we stay on track. We got someone here from London. I'm just going to unmute you. We'd love to hear the latest and greatest from London town. Aloha. Marion Rose.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hello.
I'm actually in Devon at the moment, but yeah.
Oh, splendid. Splendid. Well, there we go. How's it going? Have you just joined the program recently? I remember seeing
yes.
you.
Yeah.
Well, well done.
Actually. Yeah.
Awesome.
Just 10 days ago. It's all new. Yes.
Fantastic. Well, welcome. Tell us all about you and what your intentions are and how we can help you.
Thank you. Yeah. I guess I just want to, I'm feeling at a bit of a crossroads, and I've been doing really well and making big shifts and stuff, but now I hold space for women. I'm a traditional acupuncturist, and the last few years I've been learning practices to share with women in workshops and circles, and sharing qigong and practices like that. And now I'm just kind of a crossroads where I need to get an online presence and do little videos and stuff like that. And I'm realizing that, it's a big, got a bit of a block to it. So I'm just kind of looking for support for confidence with that and to get over the overwhelm and to get over myself and remember it's not about me. It's about the women that I want to inspire. So, it's basically all about inspiring women to look after their own health and take control and guardianship of their own bodies and, and through that, getting over the health issues to take charge of their lives and live their destiny and their joy and
Yes.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Well, beautiful. That's such a beautiful vision. And, you know, the hero's journey, most heroes, superheroes, are what are called reluctant heroes, a reluctant mm-hmm. hero. Because we're not yes. doing this for some, like, ego trip. Yeah, like some people come into all these sort of things with the ego, and then they get seriously humbled and their ass kicked over and over again until the ego is kind of crushed. A lot of us, like, don't come from, like, an ego place. And we have to, like, reluctantly get out there and do stuff. I'm more that way inclined. I'm like, like, it wasn't my idea to just, like, do all these things and, like, do all this stuff. You know, I'm kind of, like, super minimalist. But, you know, when the power's there and the passion's there, you can't help it. So you have to sort of just deal with it.
Yeah.
And my advice to you, just real quickly on this topic of just doing videos and things like that, is when you start off doing it, you're probably going to feel uncomfortable a little bit and a bit awkward and not really necessarily want to watch what you've just shot. If you just shoot a video, you'll look at it and go, oh, God, look at my hair or look at my face or I look weird, my arms are all over the place or whatever it is you don't like about it.
Yeah.
And Johnny Depp, I heard this recently, Johnny Depp, the actor Johnny Depp, apparently he's never watched one of his movies ever. He's never seen any of his films.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of actors are like that. They've never seen any of their movies. They refuse to watch them. So they show up, someone else records the whole thing, and it goes out there, and that's the end of it. And I think that's probably quite a good idea for a lot of people. I don't look at what I've done. I'm not really interested. Once I've done it, it's out. Blessings. If it helps somebody, great. If it doesn't, then, you know, I'll probably find out about it some other way. But so far, you know, things... I keep getting demands for more videos and I haven't got enough time to do them. But just start doing it, bearing in mind that you'll get better in time. And don't expect it to be perfect. Don't expect it to be, like, edited perfectly. Like, the perfection, if you look at people who've been doing this for, like, 10 years, they've totally cracked the code on it. They've got, like, expert team. They've got this whole thing going on. You haven't got all that to start with. So don't worry about it, yeah? The main thing is that you focus on helping real people with real problems. And then it's nothing to do with you, really, you know? So the main thing is that you just, your focus is, how can I help someone make a breakthrough in their life? So start with, like, for example, do you have a list of common problems that people you already talk to have? So you just start with that list. And if you don't, you can ask them. So just tell me everything. You write it down. And then this is what me and Nick do when we shoot videos, you know.
Yeah.
We just ask people, what do you need help with? And they tell us. And we've got these massive lists that just, like, countless questions. And we go through it and go, all right. And then we just say, pick one problem at a time. Because it's all about solving problems, really, and blessing people.
Yeah.
Pick one problem and just say, okay, here's the problem. You know, here's why it's a problem. And here's what I recommend you do, you know.
Yeah.
and then, you know, that's it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as simple as it might be, but that's really all it comes down to.
Yeah, it sounds like good advice. Yeah, yeah.
Well, how are you going to do it?
Stop procrastination.
When are you going to do your first video?
Oh, I don't know. I think maybe within the first couple of weeks.
Why don't you do it between now and the next time we chat? In 2 weeks, you'll be back on the phone. And then you can have done one video, even if it's a practice video.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's good to have deadlines sometimes.
Yeah. 2 weeks is plenty of time. You just get your iPhone out, whatever you use, and just turn it on and just shoot the video, and that's it. Yeah.
Simple.
What subject matter are you dealing with here?
As in, for this particular video or in general?
Generally, what's going to be your first thing? I mean, what are you really passionate about, and what are you, you know, most qualified to give advice on, would you say?
About helping women through like stuck emotions, things like that. So there's something I want to shoot a video on, like a free gift to start with, like an inner smile meditation.
Okay, lovely. Well, listen, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Just what you said just there is just absolutely beautiful. Now, what I really want to encourage you is instead of, if you imagine a piece of paper with a point in the middle, and then you can draw a spiral out from that point, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's say the point is your first video on an inner smile.
Yeah.
And then you can start spiraling out and drawing this big spiral, and let's say the whole spiral is represents a whole year of time. And so you know, if you did a video a day, there'd be 365 points on that spiral, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, what I want to encourage you to do is just to stay close to that center point, and don't spiral out too much, especially too fast, too soon.
Mm.
And if you just focus on that one single thing, the inner smile, the golden inner, or the inner smile, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And you called your whole series bringing a smile to your face, bringing a smile to your life and the lives of others in challenging times, or something like that.
Yeah.
You would be so successful. And if every week all that ever happened was they got a little video of a nice little bit of music and your little smiley face on there, and you brought them that little bit of sunshine in that thing, you would have thousands and thousands of women queuing up to get on your mailing list. Just keep it simple and spiraling in all the time, not spiraling out. Don't think you have to talk about the inner smile this week, diet next week, pills and potions the week after that, politics the week after that, menstrual cycles the week after that, and then go on and on and on and on, and just have all these different subjects and spread yourself all over the place.
Yeah.
So by the end of the year, you've done 365 videos or 50 odd videos or something, and you're not actually an expert on any of it.
Yeah.
So take that one single thing, that beautiful little smile, and just focus on that for a while. Just milk it, absolutely milk it, milk it, milk it, until you've really, really, really got the juice of it. Why is an inner smile so important? What does it do to your hormones? What does it do to the people around you? What's happening electrochemically and electromagnetically when you do that?
Yeah.
What's the difference between smiling and not smiling in terms of your health and the impact on your family and the people that love you and the inspiration? I mean, people need a little smile as much as they need anything in this world right now.
Yeah.
It's like the simplest things, like a little back rub. Like, I learned this with my mum. My mum was just, she was so not into anything at all that I represented or was passionate about or, you know, said or, you know, dedicated and devoted my life to ever.
Mm.
Zero. And I used to go back to England and I used to go and stay with her and, in this like uber toxic environment, like as soon as you open the door, the smell of the chemicals, everything, all the cooking going on in aluminium pots, just like a nuclear power plant, so much, all the vegetables just being boiled to death, the place full of cigarette smoke, bottles of whiskey, God knows what else.
Oh,
like
God.
All the windows closed, not allowed to have the window open. And I'd go and step into this thing to challenge myself to be loving, accepting, embracing, to be able to stand in my power in the presence of the judgment, of all judgment, of the one who's got, got the direct connection through the umbilical cord into my gut.
Yeah.
For years, I used to, evangelize and preach and argue and just challenge her in all these different ways. And then after a while, I realized, wow, this is absolutely bloody pointless. This is absolutely pointless. So I started going, and I just would give her back rubs. Give her back rubs, she was in a really unhealthy woman, in pain all the time.
Mm.
I just give her back rubs and help her with the washing up and take the trash out and, you know, just do anything, you know, just anything, be in service, just express love.
Yeah.
And, you know, these, you know, it's everything we're all going down the plug hole. Everything and everyone's going down the plug hole. For a lot of people, it's going to be excruciating. But guess what? It's excruciating anyway. Sitting, have you ever done Vipassana meditation? Try to sit down for 10 days and 10 hours a day. It's excruciating.
Yeah.
It's like you're being burned alive. You might as well be in hell. And it's, you know, we're all going through the same freaking eye of a needle. And it's going to be really, 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 really intense. So we can't fix everything and everyone. You know, as much as we might like to dream that we can, it's just not possible. But life can, and life will.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is to really just have the confidence to be ourselves. And people need your love. These women need your love. There's so many women that just, you know, they never smile, or they don't get smiled at in a day.
Mm.
You know, and they can give a smile. That's what they can do. You know, especially in England, the English are so, you know, they've got that. I remember that one of the lyrics from one of the Pink Floyd songs. You know, desperation is the English way. There's like a quiet desperation around. You know, everyone's kind of resigned to this. You know, that they're going down. And, you know, as long as they can, like, smoke their fags and drink their beer while they're going down, you know, they couldn't care less. You know, like, the cigarette packet, smoking kills you. It will give you cancer, 100% guaranteed. And they just, like, coughing those fags down, couldn't care less. Because deep down inside, you know, there's a knowingness that everything's going to be okay. Sooner, you know, one way or the other, we're all going through the same thing. So bring your little smile to the world, sister, and just start with that. Honestly, just start with that, and you'll be amazed. Keep it simple, and you'll be amazed. And have your little grassroots, you know, just get a smile on people's faces, and you'll get some momentum going. You'll be happy about what you've done. You'll feel good about it because it's within your expertise. You're playing within your, you know, to your strengths. You're not overextending yourself, going into areas that you might not know really too much about at all.
Yeah.
But you do know, you know, stick to these things where you feel solid at the beginning, yeah? You get a little momentum going and you'll be inspired. And then the inspiration will come through. And then, you know, you might be able to do a little thing just on breathing. Most people are going around, walking around, holding their breath all the time. When they're holding their breath, their central nervous system is locked into sympathetic response, which is the fight, flight, fright thing, and everyone's got adrenaline and cortisol going through their bloodstream.
Yeah.
So you could literally spend the first year just on smiling and breathing and be bringing so much good news into people's lives.
Yeah.
On it.
Keep it simple.
I think I've had so many ideas. You just get a bit overwhelmed, and it's like, that's very good advice.
Keep it simple. And basically, you know, we get so many questions about so many topics, just like all over the place, really, and we don't answer like hardly any of them, really. Like, they all, there's only a, I mean, we answer a lot of questions about a lot of things, but compared to how many there are, we practically scratch the surface barely, because a lot of people ask things to us that we just read nothing we can do about. You know, it's like not our thing.
Mm.
And we could go online and do some research about some random thing, but like, I have no idea about tons of stuff. I'm totally ignorant in most areas of life, you know, so nearly everyone else, you know, so... You know, over time, you know, you do get to know a lot of things comparative to when you started, but still fairly limited. So just, you know, that's very good advice from what Nick was saying. Look at what people need. Look at where you are like passionate and have skills, where your power is, basically.
Yeah.
Where's your magic
yeah.
power? And disconnect those two things together and stay with those things. And
yeah.
Try and, because really, what I find quite funny is that we can pretty much solve anyone's problems using very, very, very simple methods most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like the simplest things can solve like hundreds of problems. Yeah. And most yeah. of it's just spiritual and mental, emotional stuff. You know, we change our inner world and like all of a sudden everything's better again, you know, without even doing anything. So stay as close as you can to basically where the power is, where your power is.
Yes. Yeah.
And you'll have a lot of fun that way. You know, you'll be able to feel confident. Confidence is normally lacking when you're going out of your depth, basically.
Yeah, definitely going out of my comfort zone a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But then also anything that's new, generally you feel lack of confidence just because you don't know what you're doing to start with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I remember when I first drove a car when I was like 16 or something, I was like, this is super dangerous. Like, I could smash into someone else's car and, like, blow things up driving to the side of the road, you know. But, you know, you sort of make it through somehow, yeah, and then you end up not even remembering you're driving. I can drive, like, half an hour and not even remember I was in the car nowadays. So at the beginning, I was like, oh, my God, if anyone knew, they would all be
yeah.
running away. So just have fun with it. And, you know, you don't have to watch your own videos either. Don't worry.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think that's key, remembering to have fun with it all as well along the way.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's got to be fun. It's got to be fun. Yeah, yeah. Nick and I, when we used to do all this stuff, you know, we haven't done that many recently, but we always used to have, like, massive bowl of chocolate and these, like, super potent, like, fizzy elixirs that, like, put us in an altered state. So we were, like, totally like having a laugh when we were doing it, you know, way over.
And we always.
That's a good idea. Always, yeah, make some raw chocolate. But
hey, we always used to have our business meetings as well with, and we used to have it compulsory speaking in a Monty Python Yorkshire accent, didn't we, bro?
Aye, lads. Right. Yeah, bro. So yeah, we used to with like silly hats and stuff. Yeah, like compulsory, like
yeah.
2-hour Monty Python Yorkshire accent throughout the whole thing, because otherwise we just couldn't deal with like all the numbers
yeah.
and the trivia and the nonsense. God, it gets so boring and depressing. Not
fun.
That's why superhero training is so successful and good. One of the reasons, because it was born out of this. You know, we knew we had a very serious subject to deal with.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, you know, going back to the beginning of the call, when we were talking about shifting, you know, the state of consciousness by just expanding the awareness from
yes.
ego mindset, terrestrial awareness into cosmic consciousness, then you're still here, you're still in this room, but you just, you know, you're embracing the stars and the universes and the galaxies and all that. So you just
yeah.
open your mind, basically.
Yeah.
Shifting that, and Mike was saying, you know, making basically what Nick's just done is it make the earth very, very small. And I used to do that. I used to have to do that because when I was really doing the hardcore research in the old days, before anyone was on, no one had even heard of conspiracy theories, and I was all over the thing. And I, you know, I've been into this for 20 years, and I couldn't believe the shit that I was digging up and finding. And it was so traumatizing. I had to find a way to, you know, distance myself from it. So I started experimenting with these, you know, just making the Earth, you know, very, 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 very tiny, and me extremely large, and I could, you know, just view it from there and just put all this evil and God knows what else into this little tiny micro dot, you know, that I'd grip between my toes. So I was still in touch with it, but I was able to, you know, send it really good positive energy and love and compassion rather than being inside it and overwhelmed. So it's very important to be able to dissociate ourselves from the seriousness of life if it starts to possess us. And so this thing about smiling, yeah, why do people need to smile? Well, because they're all so bloody miserable. Why are they all so miserable? Well, because they've been stuffing their faces with a load of toxic shit for God knows how long, watching nonsense on television and reading newspapers and living in the freaking matrix that is designed specifically to generate misery. That's what it's designed to do. That's why everyone's so miserable and depressed. There's a great quote from Richard Hawkins. Is that his name, David Hawkins?
David Hawkins.
David Hawkins, he says that depression is an accurate response to the desecration of life. And that's what we feel. You know, we're so exquisitely sensitive as spiritual beings that we feel the life being desecrated. We can't not feel it. I mean, it's unavoidable. And that's where this drive comes from, to numb. More than anything else, yeah. I mean, you know, just to get out of the office and just scuzzle as much beer as is humanly possible, or, you know, just smoke something or take pills. Or, I mean, you know, alcoholics will do anything to get that thing into their system.
Yeah.
They'll eat boot polish. I can remember these guys all, you know, they would just all hang out eating boot polish because that was the only thing they could get with alcohol in them. Have black tongues and black teeth. And, no kidding. Because why? Because they feel so disturbed by the what they're experiencing in the normal waking state. They will do anything at all. It doesn't, you know, regardless of how detrimental to your health it is, they will do anything not to feel that way. That's how bad it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's an extraordinary problem. It's a spiritual malaise, which again, Hawkins says, no antidepressant can cure a spiritual malaise.
Mm.
And so what you need to do is to really ground yourself more and more and more and more in superhero training practices. Find the aspects of superhero training, the stuff that you really, really like. My customer, amazing meditations and you know, he's really eloquent in explaining the sort of metaphysical dynamics of it. Angel Qigong is absolutely wonderful. It's very, very fast acting. So find the elements of it that really appeal to you, that really work for you, and take it in, you know, build a bridge from this smiling thing and use it, you know, work on that, brand that, you know, bringing a smile to your life or, you know, bringing a smile to the world or you know, to your face or something like that, yeah?
Yeah.
Work on that, brand on that, because it's so, 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 so wonderfully appealing. It's just,
yeah.
It just really,
yeah.
Really
so
gets
it's simple.
Done.
Yeah.
It's so simple, it's so, so simple. Beautiful, it's so, so good, and it's just what people
need.
But bridge from there, find the way, as soon as you've got people smiling, and then, you know, breathing, find the way that you can communicate how to just put things into a different perspective so that people aren't overwhelmed and trapped within the overwhelm of their feelings, of their response to quote-unquote the desecration of life, so that they can, you know, find instant relief without having to go to, you know, substances or, you know, the distraction, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You get it?
Completely, yeah. Yeah, no, that's brilliant.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You're going to look back on this and be like, wow, that was, what was all that worry about? This is like, you'd just be so good at it and so easy for you, you know?
Yeah, I hope so.
These, what it is going on is that these are premonitions, you know? What sort of people don't remember, don't realize, is that visions are premonitions of future events. And so you're being inspired by the future that already is kind of like waiting for you. And it's definitely going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise you wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be talking about this. You wouldn't be dying it off, would you?
Yeah, exactly.
But
no,
they're not here, are they? You're here. Most people are not here. And most people aren't doing what you're doing. So, like, there's a reason we're here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely going to happen. It's on the vision boards. It's being visioned every day, smiled into every day.
Yes, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, because yes. We hold you accountable, young lady. There's no wiggling out of things around here. So, 2 weeks' time, we want to hear the results.
Oh, my God.
And, I work with people all over the world helping with this stuff, so don't worry about it. You know, you're going to, all you've got to do, frankly, you just got to get your phone or whatever it is you're using. Do you have an iPhone?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Of course you do. Who doesn't have one? Yeah, everyone's got three iPhones. iPhone, iPad, blah, 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 right? So what you do is you just get your iPhone out, use the iPhone built-in app that has a video on it, press the button, and talk into the camera, and you're done. That's your first video, yeah? Don't worry about all the details. Then you can build on it from there, and you can get more and more, you know, professional and serious and equipment and all these. You don't need any other equipment. You just need an iPhone. Let me just list off the equipment you need. iPhone, there's an app called Filmic Pro, write it down if you haven't got it.
About
$4. Filmic Pro, it's a professional recording app for an iPhone. It'll take you about maybe an hour to learn how to use it properly, or half an hour. You need light in your eyes. So when you face like a window, there's light coming in, if there is any light in England these days, I don't know.
Actually, it's been quite sunny today.
Well, praise the Lord. Otherwise, you need some artificial light, you know, the clouds disappearing like they normally do. And then you can get like a mic for an iPhone. Just go online and just type in mic or iPhone that you can plug into the phone. So quality, sound quality, clip it on like a clip-on mic. And that's basically all you need. You know, maybe a tripod so you can set it on something that doesn't move. And so you've got the phone, you've got the app, you've got the microphone, you've got light in your eyes, press the button, boom. That's it. And I recommend you shoot it in sections. And you know what, actually, I have a list of recommendations because so many people ask me these sort of questions. Post in the superhero, send me a private message on Facebook and I'll send you a link to like a list of stuff that I've already written out that will help you get this quite a lot quicker.
Oh, that would be really brilliant.
So it's very easy, and then you can get on with it, and then we'll hear what happens.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then as far as your content's concerned, just sketch out a little plan so you know what you're talking about, so you're not just blah, 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 and then you're just ad-libbing, yeah?
Yeah.
So just sketch out content, and like the smiling thing, do some research. Why is smiling so good for your health? You'd be amazed.
Yeah, I know that.
You know, I teach Qigong, and the golden inner smile is a massive part of it. And it's the golden inner. If you're not smiling, you're basically not doing. You're definitely not meditating. You can't have the, experiences of high consciousness if you're not smiling.
Yeah.
Most people when you see them meditating, they look so bloody miserable.
Yeah.
And, you know, really serious, yeah?
Yeah.
And that's another reason why diet is so important, because face is, you can basically do facial diagnosis. When people's faces are just hanging down to the floor, like a lot of the English are, you know, it's like they don't look like they're smiling, but maybe they can, maybe they are inside, but their whole body is sagging down in depression, you know, because of the diet and the way they've been thinking and speaking and feeling for such a long time and moaning. So get that inner smile going.
I will. I'll spread it around.
Have fun with it. Have fun with it.
Thank you.
Have fun with it. Plenty of chocolate and just have a laugh with it. You remember, like, the more you make life small, shrink it down, and the more you wake up to wonder, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It's all just this ridiculous game. So just have a laugh, you know. Otherwise, life's such a depressing nonsense that it's hardly worth being here. So you have to just have a laugh with it, laugh with it. As soon as you stop having a laugh, then just stop what you're doing, get that smile going, dance about or something, wake yourself up. and then go back into it.
Yeah, that's very good advice. Yeah, I've been taking it all far too seriously.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and go out and inspire some of the wonderful Britons. The Britons. Yeah, watch a bit of Monty Python to amuse you a little bit, maybe. And go and help the Britons.
Yeah, I will. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Looking forward to hearing your report.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, wonderful.
What happened to Taylor, bros? Is Taylor around?
I don't know what happened to Taylor. Yeah, Taylor normally... Taylor was super excited about being here today on this call. But she's probably saving the world somewhere, you know, probably in some riot or something, trying to calm everyone down. I don't know what she's up to nowadays, some sort of extreme thing. That's quite amazing. We got Bianca, who wanted to say something. Hello, Bianca.
Hi, guys. Hello.
Aloha.
Hey, Bianca.
Hey, how Bianca.
Are you? Speaking of videos.
Yeah, speaking of videos, here we are.
Yeah, I'm a perfect example. Maybe I
yes.
can connect with a woman. What was her name, the woman that was just talking?
I actually can't remember her name. I think she's just left. But anyway, just she's going to... I'm not very good with names. They just disappear out of my brain almost immediately. But we love her,
yeah,
and she's great.
Still listening, but
so,
anyway,
yeah, Bianca can help you.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of these videos, and then when I look at it, it's like, oh, my God, I look awful, I sound awful, you know, and all that. But, you know, at the end, the most important thing is what the guest is saying and what, the, you know, the speaker is saying. So, you know, who cares what I look like?
Yeah, and also,
and
they
turned out pretty good, but, you know, I can do better, and I'm still learning, and I will get better as I go on and keep going, you know.
No, you're great, Bianca. Don't even bother thinking like that, you know. Just, do you know what I mean? There's no need. Just keep doing it, and just have fun with it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't... The whole of life is absurd, frankly. The whole thing is completely ridiculous. And as soon as we forget that, we become miserable people and hate everything. So we have to snap out of it over and over and over again and just do things from the heart. So you're already doing great. I've seen some of those things. You've sent me some emails, and I think they're great. So,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you look really beautiful. You look really beautiful, Bianca, and you ask really intelligent questions, and you give the
person
talking plenty of space, and, you know, you're doing great. Just keep doing what you're doing.
And usually I'll write things down, and then when I start talking, I forget everything that I wrote down. So I just go with the flow, you know.
Yeah, and it works.
Yeah.
So, Marion, who's listening, Bianca is doing videos as well, and she actually has a background in doing tons and tons of video stuff, and she's very good at editing, and she knows all about all kinds of things. So,
yeah, I just did interview
yeah.
people. And my partner was doing that, and he, you know, left his physical body, so the only way to continue is, you know, me doing it, so that's what I'm doing.
Again, see, reluctant hero, yeah, that's the real heroes, reluctant heroes. You've been called to do it, and then you're doing it even though partly doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
deal.
Just doing the service, you know.
Yeah. Your heart's in the right place. And you're doing great. You look great. You know, the questions, like said Nick said, you know, it's very sensible, you know, like going deep and, like, prodding people and getting the gold out of them. So, it's perfect.
Yeah, and I just want to express my gratitude for you guys and, you know, how much you helped me with listening to all your videos. You know, and I try to do it, like, at least once a week I listen to your videos and, you know, daily practices, and you just have to keep doing it over and over, just be totally immersed into that, you know, and...
Yeah, well, you're welcome. You're a shining example of someone who's taking this on and doing wonderful things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Bianca.
Yeah. So going to everyone listening, I just want to sort of plug Bianca's, you know, what she's doing. It's Bridging Heaven and Earth is the name.
And the website is Heaven to Earth, heaventoearth.com.
Heaventoearth.com.
Is that a number?
Great stuff.
Numbers, yeah.
That is one.
That's the number two.
Oh no, that's number one. The name of the show is Bridging Heaven and Earth, but the website is heaventoearth.com.
Yeah, but is it T O, Heaven to Earth, T O, or the number two?
Yeah, Heaven to. No, there's no number. There's just Heaven T O, T O, letter T,
okay.
And letter O, Heaven.
Yeah, Heaven to Earth. So, you know, it's good to just, you know, help each other out here. So if you can go on and, you know, have a look at what she's doing, comment on it, you know, like her, you know, subscribe if you like it, and, you know, tell people about it. We can help each other out that way, you see. So she's got tons of stuff on there already. It's like new. Bianca's like a, really, I consider Bianca a bit of an expert in this, actually, even though she might not think she is. She probably knows more than we do about a lot of things.
Well, it's about 20 years old. It started in 1995, so it's been around for a long time.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're definitely not new to all this, and but this is new because you're doing it in a different way than before.
Right.
Yeah. Great. Well,
yeah.
Beautiful to hear from you, Bianca.
Yeah, thank you.
And and if you wanna, you know, if you wanna have a chat with me on your show, we can do like a Skype, Google thingy where we can talk virtually and do an interview like that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Easy. Yeah.
I haven't done Skype interviews yet, but I guess it is
possible. Google Hangout. Google Hangouts is the same sort of thing. Yeah, let's just do one of those, and it's easy. And,
technology's
made everything easy nowadays.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. I was trying to bring my son to this call, but there's no way he will, you know. He thinks we're a bunch of old hippies talking shit.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought about my mother until I, and what she was doing until I did a meditation with her. And I was humble enough and I had enough of the kicking. And then I had an out-of-body experience that completely changed my life forever. So don't give up on him yet.
Yeah.
Because he'll get the message when he needs to. And until
then,
he's got to go down the plug hole a bit further and just get tired of all his nonsense, and then he'll be ready.
Yeah,
so,
and I just thinking, like, when I was his age, when I was 17, I wish I had something like this available to me. You know, it would have made your life a lot easier.
Yeah,
but
when the ego is there and the hormones are there and everything, it's
I can, you know, blah blah all day. You won't listen. Mommy's crazy.
Yeah, but you know what? You just keep doing what you're doing, and when he breaks down, then he'll come to you asking, and then that's when you can help him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're already helping him because it's just subtle.
Right.
I think the best thing parents can do for their kids is be their friends. Yeah.
Yeah. And we are friends.
Yeah. So then you're all right.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
There's someone from Calgary, Lindy. Hello, Lindy. I saw you raised your hand. Lindy, are you there? Lindy Thompson, 403 number. Well, I'm not sure what's going on here, but there's another person from Calgary.
Michael, are you there?
Hello, is this Rachel?
It is Rachel, and I wanted to just pipe up because Lindy is actually my friend.
Oh, awesome.
Really, yeah, I really, really wanted her to be on the call, but she had to get off early.
Well, she looks like she's on the call.
Does it still look like she's on the call?
Certainly does.
Okay, well, maybe she is.
So, according to this thing here, she's on the call, and she's unmuted, but I don't know. Life is a strange thing. Well, how are you doing, Rachel?
I'm good. I'm good, thank you. I always love listening to these phone calls, and I really enjoyed just listening to the videos, because that's always, you know, it's always like, oh, you hate looking at yourself. So it was great. Your guys' suggestions were really great, as always.
Yeah, well, you've been doing videos. You look great on video, and you do great videos. So.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's taken
time, though, because I definitely remember when I first started, I wouldn't put a lot up there because I, you know, would watch it. But now, I mean, just for everybody listening, if they want to hear it for experience, but I just kind of got to the point where I was like, whatever. I mean, so my hair's in a ponytail. Who cares? I have something to share. So, you know, I think that what I had to do is get over myself and the fact of that, you know, how dare I hold back, you know, some information that could help people just because I don't think I like my hair today. Right? Stuff
yeah.
like that?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I often give people the example that if you're in a boat with your friends and one of your friends can't swim and they fall in, right, are you going to say, well, I need to practice my dive and I need to sort of get my swimming gear on and I need to do a few practice things and do my hair? You know, are you going to dive in and save them before they drown, you know?
Yeah.
And when you think of it like that, you know, that there are people out there drowning who, you know, who you have a heart connection with, you know, real people, then, you know, it cuts out all the nonsense. Just jump in and do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, end of the day, you know, when we're on our deathbed looking back, we're not going to say, oh, I'm so grateful that I held back and never did anything because it wasn't perfect, are we?
That's right.
So, Lindy Thompson, are you there on the call? We're looking forward to hear from you.
Well, I know.
I don't know what the deal is, but tell her we love her, and we want to hear from her next time if she is not available now.
For sure, I will. Thank you.
Yeah. And while we got you on the phone, why don't you tell us what you've been up to? What's new and different?
Oh, just plugging away. I'd mentioned to you today that I'd gotten kind of an exciting opportunity, perhaps, and I've been working through clearing away the fear and stuff of going. I, in my entire life, have wanted to move away from I've lived about an hour away from where I was born and raised and have wanted to get out of this area my entire life, and I've always been too scared, and it's not 100%, but I've potentially been given an opportunity to move to the Grand Cayman. And I went there this spring and fell in love with it. It is my lifestyle. It's exactly what I'd like to do. So now for me, it's just, you know, it's an opportunity to do what I do in my field for someone else, so working for someone else. So I think my thing is, you know, do I go ahead and do that? Do I just work on the side, continue on my own business, or do I just keep focusing on my business and, you know, go on my own accord? I'm not really sure what to do, but I know, you know, luckily I've got, you know, great family and stuff, and they basically said, if this opportunity comes and you don't go, we're going to kick your ass. Because I've been talking about it for so long. And but there's definitely that, oh my goodness, like this is a real possibility, but I've been putting it out there for so long that it's pretty cool. So I guess it's just, you know, working around the fear and trying to release that damn fear that's taken me out of the game for so long. So now I'm looking at different opportunities to get over that. You know, what's going to scare me today? Okay, I'm going to go do that. And so yeah, any suggestions on how to totally catapult out of that fear for once and for all?
Yeah. Fear. I mean, I'd love to hear what Nick's got to say, but I'll just say something real quick. Fear is a bit of a weird thing, as we all know. Most things are not what they seem to be. We're actually just afraid of our own thoughts about things. We're not actually afraid of the thing. We're afraid of our mind and the stories in our head about the thing. That's what we're afraid of. And when you realize that you're not actually afraid of what's out there at all, you're not afraid of the Grand Cayman and going to that place, you're afraid of your own mind, your own, you know, perception of what that looks like. It's nothing to do with traveling on a plane or getting there or living in that place or leaving your family. It's your mind that is stories in your head, in your mind. That's the whole thing is around that. And I'm going to actually refer you to watch a webinar from Brother Joshua. Joshua Benavides, he's a good friend of mine, and he's just done a webinar on overcoming fear, and he talks about this in more detail, which will probably help you. Really, it's just, I mean, end of the day, when you recontextualize this whole thing, that you're afraid of fear in your mind. It's your thoughts you're afraid of, not reality. I'm not, you know, this is such a big topic, it's hard to sort of go into this in any detail. But let's leave you with that to consider. Channel.
Yeah.
And Nick, yeah, but no, I'm sure Nick's got some fabulous advice for you.
Yeah, and it's absolutely correct what Mike's saying. And you know, we've been talking about this right from the beginning of this call, and you know, this is the central subject of superhero training. It is self-mastery, and we're not bad people, or we're not failing because we feel fear. You know, I feel fear every day in some respect or another, and you know, if I'm really honest about it. And because I live, you know, I really live life on the edge and, you know, super push the envelope. You know, it's just my style. I'm always dealing with fear. So the thing is, you know, fear, and you know, when you get to this, you know, we were talking about, and you're being in the call, with hero's journey, you go through these different stages. Like David and Goliath is a great story. He conquered Goliath, you know, very relatively easy. Lee, and knew he was going to do that because he'd already been prepared. He'd already been prepared through various initiations during his journey. And what was terrifying and insurmountable challenge to the so-called, you know, army of God, all these, you know, the greatest warriors of Israel who were supposed to be the army of God. And this is a brilliant, brilliant mythology, this story, David and Goliath, for the times that we're in right now. Because there is a, you know, a so-called army of God, spiritual teachers, this, that, and the other, all over the world. And there is, the supreme ordeal is coming down. And they're just going to shit their pants, pure and simple. And it's this simple, humble, more natural, internal child, like ascending part of ourselves, and those of us that have been nourishing that and nurturing that in kind of a low-key, humble way, and that have gone through certain initiations, when the supreme ordeal comes, we'll be ready for it. So fear doesn't go anywhere. And I tell people that it gets worse. The demons, if you're really living the path, if you're really pushing you know, the envelope and living on the edge of your the wave of destiny that you're riding, and you really are a you know, kind of moving energy, then you're facing demons and all the time, and they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and stronger and stronger and stronger. It's like training for the world heavyweight boxing title. You're not going to be sparring with the same, you know, kind of sparring partners that you were in the amateurs. When you're going for these massive challenges, you're going to be sparring monsters. And so these things are coming, and they get worse and worse and worse. And the more, you know, because it's all going on within us, you know, Mike's saying, you know, boiling down to, you know, we're scared of our thoughts, but, you know, the more light that we're, that is shining within our own psyche, as we become more and more illuminated, the more the pockets of darkness are darker in there, you see. So the whole thing is that, you know, that it, you know, we anticipate this, we can anticipate this. Yeah, this is going to get really, really scary. But I can deal with it. I can handle it. And this is the joy of the spiritual path, where you take your tools, your little simple tools, like, for instance, we were just talking to about the smile and the breath. You take your little inner smile and your faith and your breath, and you breathe God's love, and you walk forward into the fear, and you face it. This is what it's all about. That's how we get we cut our wings, we cut our teeth on these things. And this is how we demonstrate it. It's faith without action is dead, it says in the Bible. Faith without works is dead. We're spiritually dead if we're not proving our faith on the battlefield, on the battleground. And the world is the external representation of the battlefield, but the battlefield, the real one, is in our own mind. So what you need to do is to anchor yourself in the sense of certainty of who you are. In superhero training, we call that Nizche. It's an ancient Sanskrit word. That's who you are in terms of your center. That's where your center is. Certainty of the knowingness of who you are. It's a certainty. It's a burning inner conviction. That's your center point that anchors you into the center, the eye of the storm. And then as you move forward, you move forward with an inner smile, and your breath, and you breathe, you literally breathe love. You breathe the spirit of love. That's what you do. And yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. You're with the big thing, the great thing, the real thing. And all of this other stuff is just an illusion. But we have to be in a certain state of consciousness. We have to prove in the training simulation that this matrix is, even though it's out of control now, we have to prove, this is the training round, we prove that we are actually masters of ourselves. That means we can stay in our center no matter what, and we can stay connected to the real thing, which is invisible. And we can stay in our center and stay connected to the real thing despite the way the illusion is manifesting all around us and in front of us and within our own physical body and mind and generating all this fear. That's the whole game right there. And it's perfect love which casts out fear. That's what Jesus teaches. Perfect love casts out fear. It runs away when you face it with perfect love. So practice perfect love. What is perfect love? Well, it needs to be anchored in faith and connected to its source. So you're breathing this source energy all the time, which is love itself, and radiating it out of you in the form of blessings and the attitude of compassion, which practically is hot, oh, put on, oh, put on, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And this is what superhero training is founded upon, all of this. So we can move through. This is the thing that underpins it all. So that's why when Mike says, yeah, we get 10,000 different questions, but we only answer the themes, you see. There's no point in answering, you know, how can, you know, Bill deal with his grandfather, and how can Margaret deal with a husband, and this, that, and the other, and all these myriad details, because it's the same inner thing that's required all the time. It's perfect love, alchemy, and that faith, and you as the master you know, being able to be harmonizing your own the alchemy of your own consciousness. And that's an inside job. And there's only two controls. And the breath is kind of the regulator between the two. And it's the imagination and the feelings. And that's it. That's it. That's all you've got. That's all you've got. If you honestly close your eyes right now, what have you got to work with? You've got your imagination and you've got your feelings. That's it. There's nothing else. And so we talk about this right from the beginning of training all the way through it. It's the foundation. And when it's always basics, 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 just practice the basics, practice the basics. Know who you are, have that certainty. It's beyond form. You can't conceptualize about it. It's beyond the linear experience. The mind can't go there. But you can know who you are. The seed of knowingness already exists within the soul. The soul is like a seed. It's planted in light. And it's growing something. And the seed knows what it is. And that knowingness exists inside us all. So all we have to do is find that place within us. And it's very natural to do that. We just have to go a little deeper than the ego's realm. We do that very simply by through deep relaxation. How do we relax? Well, first of all, we start breathing. If we're really wound up, we do alternate nostril breathing. And we go through the layers. We talk about three layers in superhero training. Stuff like emotional freedom technique, positive affirmations, are all for the conscious realm. They're all for the personality. They liberate the personality from negative patterns and negative feelings and negative thoughts. But we have to go deeper than the personality into the subconscious. And this is where we have stuff like the inner self-image and all the meditations and sun pop. And then we go deeper still into the unconscious, which is the ancestral soul matrix, where we, again, we've got stuff like angel qigong, which bridges from the conscious to the unconscious, Howard Wills' prayers, and the deep meditation stuff, you see. So we bridge through these three realms. So it's all our terrain, but it's from the depth that we live from. And the center of it is the certainty of who you are. And then breathing the unconditional love from there, the supernatural love, the love of God that flows from that place. And you connect to it through love. And we don't know what love is. Love is a mystery that's been revealed in us, as us, through us. We, you know, the ego has its own version of love, this clingy, dependent, conditional, you know, high school version of love. But that's not perfect love. That's the ego's version. So we're discovering what the mystery is, of love is, and it requires the dissolution of the ego. It requires the overcoming of the mortal self, of the flesh, basically. Flesh isn't our natural body. It's that's the ego's body, the flesh. We have a spiritual body, you see. And so the epicenter of that is found through faith. And the love is connected through our love and yearning for. You know, we have to deeply, deeply, deeply want this. You know, there needs to be a... I mean, this is not... It's not easy. It's not like this is not what we've been taught in school and conditioned. Most people do not live from the depth at all. And because there's different levels of initiation, you know, there's these primary, secondary, and then, you know, these supremordial levels. You see, most people are stuck in the primary, just upgrading their ego, you know, doing emotional, you know, using their emotion, you know, Tony Robbins style, you know, is pump yourself up emotionally, get emotional, get passionate and just go for it, you know, really pump up and go for your dreams. But that's a very superficial realm, and it's running out of gas. It's running out of gas fast. So what we do is we go to these deep deeper levels, where in actual fact stillness is the key to it all. So the more absolutely still you can become, the stillness that you can hold, the peace that you can hold. There's a beautiful quote from A Course in Miracles: "There's no peace without love, And there's no love without peace. So peacemaking is an integral part of the thing. That's why forgiveness is such a big part of our program. Angel Qigong is founded on forgiveness. Har Rules Prayer is founded on forgiveness. Ho'oponopono, Sun Pop, Foundation Forgiveness. Emotional Freedom Technique is a form of forgiveness, self-forgiveness, even though I'm living in fear, I deeply and completely love and accept myself just the way I am. It's just letting go of these patterns. Forgiveness is the glue, is the solvent that dissolves the glue that keeps us stuck in these things. But we have to live from this depth. We have to live from this depth. And most people aren't doing that. They go from polishing the ego to developing a spiritual ego. Like I've just been up in Bali and I'm going back to Bali. Probably. And they're all, it's the spiritual ego up there. They're all going to yoga, drinking juices, going to raw food cafes, all got the designer gear on, going to ecstatic dance, having tantra, and thinking they are living in heaven on earth. And they're in for a massive, massive wake up. The spiritual ego is going to get obliterated. Absolutely obliterated. And this supreme ordeal is coming in the Avatar film. When we first started superhero training, we based the model on the spiritual teachings of Avatar, this wonderful book that I found that was had the Vedic scriptures in there and linked it to the movie Avatar. And the very first version of superhero training was we used this as a kind of a template to making sure we were covering all these things. So in these mythological stories, modern and ancient, if they are relevant, I'm not talking about Harry Potter here, I'm talking about some real specific stuff. And Avatar was one of them. And in the movie Avatar, it shows us that there are three distinct movements. And we have to go through this third one. And if we don't go through this third one, we're in trouble. Big trouble. Supreme ordeal, perfect love.
Yeah. So there's no escaping it. And basically we're all gonna feel fear. So trying to get rid of it is frankly a complete waste of time because it's not gonna happen. So and actually fear of like being hit by a car or fear of if you put your hand on something and you sort of jump back, pain is good. It's a good sign, it's a good thing. So don't worry about overcoming fear, because you can't do it. All you can do is expand your perception of life so that fear is seen as like, or experienced as this smaller thing within this bigger thing. And from that place, you still feel the fear, but it's a lot less dominating. But it's not going to go away. Yeah?
Right.
So it's better to think of it in terms of it's not going to go away at all. So don't even... Because it's basically like saying, I should never feel hunger, I should never be hungry. And if I'm hungry, it means I'm so bad and impure and I need to sort of like go on another fast and overcome my desire to eat and never eat again. It's just totally ridiculous. Hunger is all right. I mean, you're going to be hungry. You're going to feel hunger, yeah? But you don't have to, don't see it as such a horrible thing, basically. And, get on that plane. Get your ass over there.
Well, it's funny because as Nick was talking, I was just closing my eyes and visualizing everything. And I just went, oh, my goodness, I've actually shifted. I know that I'm shifting because I was just picturing myself as a warrior princess, kind of going, yeah, I got this, rather than the scared ego that I've been used to falling prey to. So it feels pretty good to know that that shift is happening. So thank you very much for that. And you're right, my ass will be on that plane.
There is a war, yes.
Yes, you will. And guess what? You're going to get there and you're going to feel more fear because that's just how it is. So just completely abandon the idea that you're never going to have fear. And you feel a lot better.
Yeah. Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.
Ah, that sounded like Lindy Thompson there. She is on the call.
Yeah, told her to get back on here, Lindy.
Get yourself back on the call. So, Lindy, any last thoughts? Are you still there? Lindy Thompson, the all disappearing
Hello?
Lindy Thompson. Hello there, Lindy.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I am here.
What's up?
I was just leaving a workplace that I have to go to right now.
Well, here you are.
Here I am. Hello. Good. How are you?
Great. Absolutely marvelous.
Excellent.
Always love being on these calls, connecting with everyone.
Yes.
So are you encouraging Rachel to get on that plane, Lindy? Are you, getting her to move things forward?
Absolutely.
Good.
Yes.
Well done. Ah, so what's up for you? What's your life like? How's things going?
Things are going fairly well, thank you. My life is always a bit of an adventure, and that's okay. right now, I am focusing on just basically, I work temporary at this place I used to work at, which is completely fine, and then working on getting things together with Rachel and going forward with that as well, and just keeping each other accountable and really trying and working on, not trying, but working to embrace all that the universe has for us spiritually and physically, and really doing a lot of meditations and self-exploration, mirroring, all that jazz.
Good job.
Yeah.
Are you working with Rachel as well? Is this she? You've had some business ideas and stuff. Is she the one who I've heard some ideas? Is that you?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Okay.
It is.
I wasn't there.
Right. Well, it's great to hear from you because Rachel's been talking about somebody. I didn't know if it was the same person.
Yes.
So you sound like you.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Dara, I'm very grateful that you're in her life.
Thank you.
Rachel,
I am very grateful.
You seem
grateful
like a real blessing.
Thank you. I'm grateful that you guys are in her life as well. She speaks very highly about you, and I'm very excited to have a chance to speak with you.
Yeah, well, we love Rachel very much, and she's been going through profound breakthroughs one after the other, and she's still here, getting on with it, and that's the main thing. Keep showing up and keep making the changes, going to the next level.
Yes.
So how can we help you? Things you're always helping other people.
Let's see. There's probably a million things you could help me with, but right at this moment, I'm not too sure if actually Rachel has asked you this question, so I will ask you, how do you feel about, you have a business idea and it's a product, and you're not ready to actually put it physically out into the world. But you want to create some hype around it or some interest, what would be a margin that is there too long of a hype period? Is there too short of a hype period? Is there, should there be no hype period?
Well, what's the purpose of the hype?
Just because we're really excited about it, really, that's all. And we, and it won't be able to come to fruition for a bit, so we have a lot of other work we could be doing, and we were just talking about, do we start promoting it or don't we?
Yeah, all right. So your real question is it worth promoting it at all if you can't do it?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, well,
thank you.
Yeah, that's a very sort of sensitive question, because on the one hand, what would be unfortunate to happen is that you pump something up and then you actually never create it, and
right,
that would be a waste of everyone's energy.
It would. Yeah. I don't believe that's going to happen.
All right.
I'll do everything I can to not make it happen.
Okay. So, and then the other thing is, and I don't like to think in terms of competition and that sort of thing, but
right,
what you wouldn't want to happen is you pump this thing up and someone else who is ready just steals your idea and gets on with it immediately, and then they're
right,
the ones who benefit from your hype,
yes,
which would seem a bit pointless for you to
exactly
do that. Not that I don't normally think that way, but you kind of have to bear these things in mind.
Yes, we both try not to
not,
think that way either,
yeah,
but it is a reality out there.
Well, honestly, what is it stopping, what's stopping you doing, I'm not going to ask you that question, it's the wrong question. Can
right,
you do
there's just some
something,
legal stuff.
Legal stuff. All right,
yeah,
legal stuff stopping you. All right.
Yes.
So, and how long is that going to take to sort out?
I believe it should be sorted out within a couple of months.
Oh, that's
give
all
us
right,
about 2 months. It's not too far, but it's also, we're very excited, and it's further than I guess we were hoping, but that's all right. I mean, it gives us time to work on so many other things. And
all right,
one thing we were wondering is, what should we do in the promotion area? Should we just wait and launch, which kind of
no,
is...
Yeah, so that's a good question, right? Here's what I think. I got into that. You're going to do it anyway. You've got a couple of months before you can actually practically do anything. But
yeah,
realistically, setting up a business has so many moving parts, so many details that take time behind the scenes that it's, you know, it's fine, really, to have that time anyway to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend that you use the time, if you're going to promote this in an introductory, like getting it going, get the message out, have your main aim to be get pre-orders or get people's names and emails and addresses.
Okay.
Yeah, a waiting list. Basically,
right,
build a waiting list. And also, this is something I do all the time, and I think it's very, very powerful, is to set yourself up to win. Set yourself up that it's inevitable that you have to do it.
Right.
Right? And
yeah,
like I'll give you an example, like a simple example of this, right? Right, you know, we've got one of these webinars, like live calls that we do all the time. And I don't create the call until I've promoted the call, because it's a lot easier to write an email about something and tell people the time and the date and schedule it and let thousands of people know that there's this thing that they can come to. As soon as that email goes out the door, it immediately forces me to create the thing.
Right.
Yeah. Which mm-hmm, I might have put off for weeks and months otherwise, yeah?
Yes.
Do you see what I mean? So
I do.
Well, yeah, and I've done stuff like this for practically everything I've done, you know? And it's good because we need that, like, accountability. So I think it's very, very powerful to do what you're doing as long as you're completely
mm-hmm,
committed to pulling it through.
Okay.
And you're basically saying, look, here's this great thing we're up to. Tell us, give us your name and email and your information, and we'll give you like a free report, and we'll give you some tips or some other, like a couple of videos or whatever it is else you can give them.
Okay.
To start building up a relationship with the people in advance. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So start building the relationship. Yeah. Because I know what you're up to in terms of, she's given me some of the ideas, and there's so much you can do to help people right now.
Yes.
Yeah, tons and tons of things. So why don't you, both of you, you know, while Rachel's here physically, shoot a bunch of videos together, or write a report, or put some blog posts together, or do something, and then say, we got this great thing coming out, you know, join the waiting list and get all these great things for free to start with. Build a relationship. Ask them questions like what does your pet, in this case it's a pet thing, what does your pet, when do they like to eat, how much, what do they currently eat, like what's going on, find out information from them, that you gain a lot of clarity, and basically, you build a relationship where they're going to want to buy something from you.
Okay.
And they kind of like make a pre-commitment to themselves in a way to take the next step. And then when you do launch it, but you've already got loads of people waiting for it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can email
and
you send them an email and say, look, make your first, be the first people in the world to order this wonderful thing. Boom. And next thing you know, you're often going, you know?
Yes. Thank you
so
very
much. So I think
it's
a great idea to do pre-promotion. Yeah. Just make sure that it's clear that you build like trust, give them blessings, help them out, make them feel like you're the kind of coolest people in the world and no one else does as cool stuff as you do and you're just like totally there for them.
Yes.
And then they're going to say to you, oh my God, where can I get your product?
Yes. Okay. That sounds amazing. I love it. Thank
you
so much. Yeah. That's
you're welcome.
Yeah,
and just, and just ask them, what do you need to know? What help do you need? And basically keep giving them things based on their feedback. So you might have a list of 10 things that you think they want. But when you actually talk to them and find out from them, there's like 20 other things that they want more. So then create stuff specifically for those things, yeah? So see it as an experiment.
Okay.
And because value, what does value mean? What does it mean to add value to people's lives? It means people already value things that they value. You know, they already have their values. They already want things anyway. So your job is to find out what do they already want already and then help them out with those things that they already want.
Yes.
Might sound really obvious, but most people don't think that way. They just think, what do I want to do? And they just sort of like throw it up over people, yeah? It's just like vomiting on everyone, yeah? That's not the way to do it. So we want to be like, no, we don't vomit on people, yeah? We're not vomiting on anyone. We're finding out what would you like and then giving them beautiful gifts based on what they want rather than throwing up in their plates, you know?
Right,
so,
yes.
Or throwing up in their inbox. Or something, you know. So we're like, no. So find out what sort of things do they want, and give them those things, and keep giving them those things. And by the time your legal stuff is done, you'll be in a really powerful position to say, all right, we got 100 orders to start with. They want stuff, and they'll be snapped up like that.
Right. Perfect. Thank you so
much. You're welcome. Yeah. Absolutely. May you be highly successful and have a great laugh doing it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yay. Talk to you again.
Definitely.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful. Well, that's a great... I always see, for me, it's like there's two things that I'm mostly passionate about. One is waking up to the wonder of life and just